9:35, I think we better get started. People have come in, the band has come in, and very good morning to everyone. I hope everyone had a good rest. I think it was I think the Lord just wanted to give us a good rest last night. It rained, right? It rained, it was cooling. We don't have to, I mean, if you sleep with the fan, you sleep with the aircon, it doesn't make a difference, but just sleep with the fan, the cool weather, it does help, okay? And I seldom feel very cold, but the last two nights I've been feeling cold. Thank God for the thing. For those who came for a prayer retreat, it was a wonderful time. It was an encouraging time to hear people praying and really pouring their hearts out before the Lord. So, especially for those who are sick as well, we were praying for people who were sick and also people who had certain trials in their lives. So, we thank God. God has really answered two out of many that we've prayed. So, there were some blessings that, as a result of the prayer, I think it was Wednesday, we prayed, and Thursday someone gave me an SMS and saying he's coming back to church, so and to do some work for God. So thank God for that, you know. And there's another prayer request. It was, or rather not prayer request, but God answering and providing our needs for a new place. We're told that we may have some funds for the renovations. From out of nowhere, so God is good. Amen. God is definitely good, even the little ways. And we also thank God for many, many things that are happening, reaching out to the people. We actually wanted to visit 11, I think, a teenage group of people. Hui Fang, you know, Deandra knows Hui Fang. And actually, he was supposed to come last Saturday, but the grandfather passed away, so he wasn't able to come. But they would like to come. So thank God for that. JWs are busy with them, and so we need to break that bondage there. So we thank God for big opportunities. So we're praying, okay, God, to raise people up and be able to be a ministry. We're praying for one another too, for those who are sick, for those who need help and all that. We're praying also how we can help Anna. We need to pray for Anna as well. SMS Terry, she just said, oh, just resting at home. Then after that, what's the situation? I think he's finding it hard to find words as well. So we need to visit him this week. So pray for the people, okay? Pray for the people. That God will be able to encourage all of us to just touch someone for the glory of God. Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer, then we will go in and talk about how we need to seek the Lord in different various situations, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you as our Master and our Savior, the one who loved us so much that he was willing to walk via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, all the way to the cross. Lord, even the time, the day, the place that they may mark out, even today in Jerusalem, how you walk through the marketplace into the place of Calvary, Golgotha, or the place of the skull whereby they put those nails into your hands. It was all because of us. God, it was all because of us and our sin. And all because of your love, your great love for us, that you were not willing to allow sin to control us. That God, you were even willing to send your own son to break that bondage of sin. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much, Lord, for the cross. A symbol of despise to the world, but God, a symbol of love and glory for us. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us, Lord, it is the power of God. Lord, I thank you for the power of God that is available to every Christian. And we pray today as we learn about how, as a whole church, we need to seek you both individually and corporately. That God, that power that raised up Jesus from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit, would move in our hearts so that we can understand also how we can seek you and put you first. Because you put us first when you die on the cross. Lord, we're so thankful. We thank you also for the answers already to prayer that you have given to us, and we are asking, Lord, that you would gather us together as one flock, as one man, that we may honor you. So, Lord, we pray for the Sunday school teachers as they pour out their hearts for the children, for everyone who is involved in ministry, for people who are sitting at the feet of Christ even right now. I pray, Lord, you open our hearts. Even for myself, I pray that you help me to hide behind the cross, for it's not me that's important, but your word and you, Lord, as Lord of this church. God, I pray that every word spoken will be taken as if it is the word of God, as in the early church. I pray that today our hearts will be open. We'll open our mouth that you might fill our mouth with good things, our hearts with good things. And God, we'll decide to walk with you because, Lord, you are so worthy and you are so glorious. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless this time of learning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Last week, we talked about seek the Lord first. Assembly. Okay, I hope that you have gotten some things that you will be able to go on. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. We're going to move on. Last week, I traced a little bit of history of how God seeks us first, because man by nature does not want to seek God. Even Christians, after they become Christians, they have a difficulty putting themselves to actually wanting to find out more about God. But God wants us to seek Him. Okay, and we talked about some requirements last week. This week, we want to look at some considerations before we move into four things, okay? We want to look at how, as a Christian, do I seek God in secular decisions? In other words, in school, in workplace, how do I make decisions? Okay, number one. Number two, we're going to be looking at how we're going to seek the Lord in our service for Him. All right, some people say, Brother Johnny, what should I do to serve? And how do I do to serve? My plan is, after finishing all this, I want to actually put it in little manuals that we can actually refer to, that we can teach in Sunday school, we can do some follow-up for younger believers, so that we'll constantly have a constant stream of teaching based on the scriptures that we'll be able to guide younger Christians in. Okay, so anyone who feels that, well, someone asked me about seeking the Lord for service, huh? There's this manual we can go to. I'm praying, Brother Joshua Cobb, pray for him. He's a librarian. He's doing something like an assignment for his final year, I think, in a computer project of how to catalog things and all that. So he's hoping to use church as a library. He can learn how to set up a system for the library. So, wow, that's what we need, you know. We have a lot of books all over the place. We want to bring it all together, and so that we can actually use it as a library. So that if you need any resources, you can actually access it. Pray for us. We're going to invest in these kind of things because our people is important. We need to help them grow. All right? Then we're going to talk about how to seek the Lord when we have sinned. When we have sinned, you know, when we have sinned, God still loves us. He wants us back. Okay? And then, of course, lastly, how to seek the Lord in salvation. And then finally, how to seek the Lord as a church. Okay? So Isaiah 55 and verse 6, as we begin, let's read there together. Please stop me if there's any questions, any practical questions that you may have, anything you feel that you want to contribute. Please, this is a learning time, so all of us can contribute, okay? So Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, let's read there, okay? Ready? Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, ready? 1, 2, go. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay? In this particular two verses, God, through Isaiah, is presenting to the nation of Israel, this is how you need to seek me. This is how. Remember last week we talked about the fact that God wants us to seek Him, but we have to seek Him the way He wants us to seek Him. Okay? No one in this world can go to God and say, oh God, you're there, and so I come to you. No, you can't. You have to go through. Who do we have today? If someone wants to seek the true and living God, what must he do? He has to do what? If someone, let's say, a non-believer wants to seek the true and living God, what must he do? Can he bring fruits to any religion? Or can he? That's what many people do, are all the same, right? But what does the Bible teach us? When we want to seek the true and living God, what must we do? We must come through Christ, okay? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, okay? So, in this particular passage, I just want to draw five principles, okay, as you go through. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Number one, seeking the Lord is an active decision. Seeking the Lord is an active decision. Okay, seeking the Lord is an active decision. Unless we choose to pray, we won't pray. Agree? Okay, I know there was one time I met someone on the bus. The person didn't see me, but I saw the person. He was sleeping all through his journey. I was, but you know, that person had to actively wake up in the morning because his school is very far, right? He has to make a decision. He knows who he is. He has to make a decision. I'm going to have to get out at this. I had to hit the bus stop at this time because if I miss this bus, I will be late. Okay, so in order to do something, we need an active decision. Okay, why are you smiling? I'm not supposed to say, okay? But it's an active decision. Seeking the Lord is the same. Being early for church is the same. Serving the Lord is the same. And seeking God, above all, you know, God wants us to seek Him because we want to seek Him. And so the first principle is that it has to be an active decision, because seek ye the Lord. In the Hebrew, it's actually in the imperative, meaning that it's a command. Seek ye. Okay? Seeking the Lord is an active decision. Number two, seeking the Lord is not at our convenience. It's at the time where He may be found. I say that again. This is very important, because the Bible tells us, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You know what that means? It implies that there are certain times that He may not be found. Remember in the Proverbs chapter 1, God says, you will call me, I won't answer you. Remember? Proverbs chapter 1, let's turn there, okay? Just in case. The Bible is a book of balance, meaning that God may say one thing, but He will say something else, because He wants us to be balanced. He wants us to be in the middle whereby we do the best thing. Okay? So in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24, and sorry, in verse 28. Yeah, I'll just read there. The Bible says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. But Brother Johnny, this is contrary to our God. I thought every time we call God, He will answer. God says, there are certain conditions that when we call you, when you call upon me, I will not answer, okay? They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? In verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. In other words, God is telling this group of people, hey, look, there comes a time, I've been telling you, comes a time, you guys don't listen. When you call, you think I've heard you. No, I haven't. You know, the key to answered prayer is you see it answered before your eyes. I've learned this very much. Last time when we first started our prayer retreat, one of the things I was reading through, I think some of you know E.M. Bounds. You know, E.M. Bounds is a very noted author. We have one book Sister Felicia gave us in the library. And E.M. Bounds said, if we pray and we don't receive answers to prayer, we have to be brave enough to ask God, why am I not receiving my answer to my prayer? And it could be God may be pointing out certain things in our life. Example, the Apostle Paul. Remember, the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. So Paul didn't get what he wants. And it's actually a principle. When you pray and pray and nothing happens, it could be God is saying, look somewhere else for the answer. Okay? And so, I just want to share with you from the Bible. We do not seek God at our convenience. It is at a time where He may be found. What are some times that God may be found? You may be thinking, what are some of the times? Can you think of any times that God may be found? Sorry? When two or three are gathered in my name, there and I, in the midst of them, prayer meetings is a time where God can be found. I can tell you when we were praying, people were pouring out their hearts. And I believe there was a meeting of hearts as we prayed for our loved ones, we prayed for our church, we prayed for the teens, we prayed for the children, we prayed for the ministry, we prayed for people who are sick, we prayed for... There was a meeting of hearts. God can be found. And you know what? Many of us learn lessons even just by praying together. Okay, what are other times in your Bible reading? It's a time that you've appointed, but get it, when you read the Bible, if it's not an active decision, but it's just a duty, and there's no heart, God can't hear you. Neither will you find God. That's why many Christians today will say this. Brother Johnny, sorry, I just put it to. Brother Johnny, I read my Bible. I don't get anything out of it. I read my Bible, I don't get anything out of it. That's a dangerous situation to be in. Okay? All right? But what you need to do is keep praying. Say, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. I want to understand the Bible. And I want to apply that. Okay? You need to, in the Bible reading, in prayer meetings, what are the times that God may be found? I was reading a commentator. He said, one of the times they can be found is at church when you're listening to a message and God is trying to speak to you. That's the time God may be found. That's why invitation is so important. Last time I used to not give invitations. But I decided to start when we move here because I believe it's a very important step that a Christian must decide to follow Christ. If we don't decide to follow Christ, you will never follow Christ. There must be a conscious decision. Okay? So at a time when you hear God's word, harden not your hearts. That's what the Bible says. And many of the decisions I made that brought me to this place, and I'm sure many of you too, was at the time I heard a message, I believe God wants me to step up by faith. I can remember when I was in Rockingham, Perth, it was a revival meeting, and at that time, God touched my heart about, I think in John 21, where Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And I said, at that time, I surrendered to full-time, and I went up. I was evangelist Chris Hustler, he's a very interesting guy. But you know, after I went up, I told my pastor, I still remember that decision, because it was a decision I made. And my pastor gave me wise counsel. Said, "Johnny, don't tell God what you want to do." I told my pastor, Scott Charles, he says, "Look, I believe God called me to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary for him." Pastor Scott Charles had wise counsel. Said, "Don't tell God that you want to be a missionary. Tell God this, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do." Oh, that was so wise. Because you know why? Then it opens up everything that, if God has something else for you, you won't miss it. Does that make sense? If you think that you want to do something, you're actually literally biasing yourself to God's will already. Okay? And so that was wise counsel. And in the end, God didn't call me to be a missionary yet, I don't know. But to be an evangelist and planning the church and all that kind of thing. So seek the Lord at a time where he might be found. Okay? And you know, at a time when your friends may be speaking to you about certain areas as well. There's a time when sometimes the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. And when you're speaking to a friend, say, I think the ladies had good fellowship in a church camp where the boys were kicking around and I was also kicking around. No, I wasn't. I can't because of my knee. But you know what? They were just fellowshipping. You know, during that time, God may be also using illustrations, instances in other people's lives. Let's put it this way. I learned a lot of things. Just God maybe speaking to me about certain things as I look at how people serve, as I look at how people operate. And God is helping me to understand. And it's also, and then in making it in line with Scripture so that we can move forward. Okay? So, any questions? So, we need to seek the Lord at a time he may be found, because from the past, from the Bible, it is obvious that sometimes God cannot be found. He can't. And what are the times when we choose not to listen to his voice, when we choose not to listen to his counsel, whether by man or by his word or by his spirit? Man can speak the words, but the Holy Spirit impresses in the heart. And you know what? When God impresses upon us the heart, don't fight it. Once you fight it, you are making it harder for God to speak. Okay? So, all right, the next one. We're in Isaiah 55 for those who just come in, verse 6 and 7. Do you have the... Please help yourself. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see in the first part. Okay, it involves also calling on him. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near." Calling is in prayer, is in earnestness, because when you call, I am sure some parents or some even Sunday school children say, "Ah, help, help, help." When you call to someone because something has happened and you are desperate for help. Okay? So the Bible says, "Call upon him in prayer, in earnestness, in sincerity." Okay, the next one. Call upon him while he may be found, while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's also in an imperative, it's a command. When you call on God, when you seek God, you cannot seek God with hands filled with sin. When you know there's something there, and you choose not to do it, or choose not to deal with it, God says, "Look, I'm very clear." Psalm 66, verse 18. "If you consider iniquity in your heart, I'm not going to hear you. I will not hear you." In the same way, your parents will not hear the request of a child. They say, "Look, I told you to go and do your five sums. If you want ice cream now?" "No, you go and do your five sums first. And then maybe you'll consider later." Okay? And God has to do that, not because he wants to be harsh, but he wants us to learn to follow and obey him. Okay? So, it involves repenting from all sin, because the Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his ways and his unrighteous man, his thoughts." The forsaking of the way refers to his lifestyle, repenting from all sin and anything that will be offensive to God. His way, his approach in life. God says, put it away. You want to seek me, you put away what you know, obviously, is against my rules, against my laws. Okay, for example, in a family, maybe a family's rule is not to throw litter on the floor. Okay, but you constantly throw litter, and the parents always have to discipline the child for that. And one day the child said, "Mama, can I have something?" I said, "Well, I think you want this. It's quite a big thing. I need you to forsake the way of your trend of your life before I can move it forward. Okay, I move things forward for you. Okay, it involves repenting from all sin and anything that will be offensive to God. Number five, the Bible also says, let the wicked forsake his way, verse 7, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It involves turning away from what the word thoughts there has the idea of habits and lifestyle. What you think through about how you want to do things. The Bible actually says, let there be a putting away even of those thoughts, forsaking those thoughts. Okay? An unrighteous man his thoughts. Notice it's an unrighteous man. You know, as a Christian, sometimes you say, "Brother Johnny, we're in the righteous category," which is true. Jesus has made us righteous. Amen? Jesus has made us righteous. And that is a position that we all enjoy. You know what we need to do? Make sure it continues to be righteous. Because the Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if you look at the Old Testament and combine it with the New, you'll find it's consistent. The unrighteous man will not get anything from God. Even as a Christian, if you choose to be unrighteous in certain ways, God will say, "Look, I need that to be dealt with in order for you to find me." Okay? It involves turning away from habits and lifestyle that dominate our thoughts that are offensive to God. Okay? And then finally, of course, this is let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay, any questions there? So this is very important prerequisites for seeking the Lord. Generally, Old New Testament, you will find it again and again. Okay, any questions? Okay, now let's move on to how do I seek the Lord in secular decisions? When I go to work, when there's an issue coming up, how do I make decisions? And I want to draw from Daniel's example. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. Okay, and we'll find some key ingredients there. Please feel free to ask questions. Something may crop out in your mind about maybe your secular work that doesn't really fit. But I want to use Daniel because Daniel is a very unique character. Because we'll go through some of the things there. Okay. Number one, I want us to look at the situation that Daniel was in. Daniel was in captivity to King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, the nation of Judah has just fallen, and what the nation of the Babylon has this habit of taking the best from all the captive people to serve them, and what they want to do is to integrate them into the culture so they will break their cultural identity. Okay, isn't that what the world tries to do to Christians today? Isn't that what the world tries to do with Christians today? They try to. There's nothing wrong with operating harmoniously with the different races. In fact, it is good because it promotes the unity of the country. In times of war, we need the whole nation to be together. But you know, in terms of belief systems, there cannot be any compromise. And so Daniel knew that. But Daniel was in a situation together with his friends, okay, which was a pagan situation. Okay, those are a few points there. We won't read through, though, it's quite a lot, but I'll just read through maybe one or two verses. In verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar, came of Babylon unto Jerusalem and besieged it. In other words, he surrounded it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. In other words, Israel lost. Okay, Judah lost. With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So Judah fell to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar brought the people back to the land. Okay, and the king. Okay, verse 4. The king, so verse 3 first. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. Okay? So, by the way, these are young teenagers in a foreign land. Daniel was a teenager when he was taken into the foreign land. message to our teenagers today. Okay? It's very important. It's a very important message. A few situations. Number one, they were in a pagan land. Okay? We are in a pagan land. We are in pagan Singapore. Multi-religious. They were not in the best of situations. Some Christians say, but bro, Johnny, you know this, I got this, I got this, I got this, you know, I got this. They were captives, right? They were slaves. You cannot be in any worse situation with regards to practicing your faith. They were in a bad situation, okay, in this situation. And they were not in control over the situations. They weren't. They were slaves. They had no control. Whatever master tell them to do, they have to do. So these are some points. I think it just sets the frame for us. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. We are in the same situation. In our workplaces, where we face a boss that's not a Christian, a boss that's unreasonable, think about that. At least the boss pays you. If you don't, then MOM will take them on, okay? But in Nebuchadnezzar's time, these are slaves. Supposed to do what the king does or said to do. So the situation. But look at the decision that Daniel made. This is important. The next part. The Bible says in verse number, we'll just read 5 down. Now the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, not the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end they might stand before the king. Question, what is wrong with that? I mean, you serve the king give you your daily rations. Kind of like you go to SAF, right? You go to SAF, they give you your food to eat because you're supposed to serve the army. So what's wrong? Why did Daniel have to make a stand? Sorry? The food were offered to idols. Teenagers, are you listening? Sometimes when the world gives you things, you need to think through first. Where did this come from? Is this philosophy? Scriptural? Can I just take it on without compromising my faith? Daniel saw it. You know how Daniel saw that? How did Daniel know that it was food offered to idols and he cannot partake of the food? How does anyone know what is right and wrong? From the word. Exodus 20 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? What did Daniel do then? Look at verse number 8. And teenagers, this is a verse that you have to hold in your heart. Okay? And of course for all of us, but especially teenagers, because I think it is useful for me to frame it. Because the book of Daniel, they were young when they were in the nation of Babylon. Let's read together verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, go. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In making decisions in the secular world, we need to understand a few things. Number one, every decision we make as Christians, whether in secular or spiritual, is a decision to honor God. How do I know that? In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you eat or drink, even the most basic things, and whatsoever you do what? All to the glory of God. So when we make a decision, biblical principle dictates that we must make it to honor God. Does that make sense? We cannot look at the situation. The first priority, you don't even consider the situation. The situation is, will I dishonor God? If not, fine. If yes, straight away, you must say, no. God's word said, no, I cannot. Because your decision is to honor the Savior who loved you. Okay? And that's what he did. I just read Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. What? Fearing God. Even in your secular work, God has to be first. That's why I oftentimes preach, students, you do your best in your schoolwork because you're not just serving the O-levels or A-levels. You are serving God in your studies. You are saying, God, you have given me a will in my life as students. I will do my best to give you glory even in my studies. That's why I believe Christians ought to be the best students. Okay? Ought to be the best. But you know, God knows our limit. You know what? If you should... I'm not saying your results must always be A star, 4 A's, that kind of thing. But, you know, you have a trend of being diligent. You take your work seriously, okay? And you do your best and say, God. And at the end, your motivation is not, I want to score 9 points or 4 points. Now you got 4 points as well, right? Now you gave us score 2 points, I think. Is it? No, I won't say anything. Okay, you can even score 2 points for your levels to get to a good course and all that. But you know what? Our motivation mustn't be the course. Our motivation, Lord, I want to do well because I want to honor you. I want to make sure at the end when I get the result, God, I will give you the glory and people can see it was Christ who helped me. Okay? But we need to be careful that we don't swing to the other extreme. And then, well, God, I want to score so well. Keep on just focusing on everything and forget everything that God else that God tells us to do. Okay? In terms of service and all that. Alright? So we need to be clear. So in this situation, we need to decide even before we are in the situation. Every decision we make as Christians are decisions to honor the Lord. But the second one is important. We need to decide even before we are in a situation. That's what Daniel did. The Bible says even before Daniel knew the requirement, the Bible says he already purposed in his heart. In other words, he had settled it even before he had to make a decision, or rather, even before he had to face the whole situation. It is so important because many Christians, when coming to making decisions, you know what they will say? Let's wait and see. When you wait and see, you will always make a worldly, fleshly decision. Always. Because why? You are making decisions based on what you... Because the very statement is already in the flesh. Let's wait and see. Of course, in some situations, which is beyond your control, which doesn't affect spiritual life, kind of planning of appointments and all that. But you know, sometimes when you have to make a decision, you may just have to say, example, there was one time, I know my boss wasn't happy with me, because it was, they wanted, you know, sometimes this, they want retreats on Sundays. The whole department will come together and they will discuss. Because Sundays, then there's one off, lah, and I'm supposed to be a senior. And so, it was on a Sunday. I told him, I'll come after 2 o'clock. And my boss, it was like, I think a few weeks before, they already planned it already. Then the boss was talking to me and all that. And said, no, sorry, I'll just come after 2 o'clock. And so, at the end, I think he just didn't want to talk to me anymore. In the end, I called at 2 o'clock, hey, I'm coming down. No, no, you come down, we're finishing. I didn't feel anything, and I'm thankful that boss, at that point, I think she wasn't very happy because I'm the senior, I'm supposed to set an example for the juniors. But it was something I could not compromise because I was teaching and there were people depending on my testimony as well. So that could be an opportunity cost. You will lose in the world, but you will gain with God. And you know what? If you love God, I'm not putting myself up, but you know what? Many people have done that. This is just what the Bible teach. Do you realize Daniel had to make a very expensive decision? He's a slave. How dare he tell the king what he wants? But you know what? His love for God was more. And he said, he purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself. I will not. I will not defile myself because my relationship with God is so precious. I will not, I just will not compromise. Because if Jesus did so much for me, how can I even do anything to offend him? That was Daniel's heart. Now when I say that, I know it's very hard. I know it's hard. And that's where we need to learn to take small steps of faith. It's not, okay, tomorrow I'll go and tell my teacher. Sometimes you need to pray through. I'm going to talk about how we do that, okay? Any questions? Any questions? Very, very important. Let's move on, okay? The solution. What did Daniel do? Verse number 9. Notice what Daniel did. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Number 1, have a testimony. Okay? But it's interesting, God was the one who brought the favor in. I can tell you, God has lots of favor. You need the... Okay. God... We need to have a testimony. You know why sometimes bosses just don't want to accede to request? Because the Christian don't have a testimony. The Bible says Daniel had testimony. Okay, but of course God was the one who... You can do right, but God must be the one who will move and bring the testimony in. Okay, but you know, you need to do all you can to place a testimony before God and men. Alright? So, in all you do right. Have a testimony, okay? That is a very important first point. in how you talk to your colleagues, in how you are hardworking, in how you would go the extra mile for someone, in how you will talk kindly when someone offends you, and how you will not fight back, and that kind of thing, how you will be creative and proactive in helping in the situation. Because once you have that, there is nothing that the world can offend you. There was one time, I think I shared before, there was a lady, her name is Julie, she was one of my colleagues, she's a Christian, okay? And there was one time in the group, they were actually deciding to an assignment, you know, who's going to do what, who's going to do what. And Julie just happened not to be there. And so there was another lady who was in a wheelchair, her name is Julie Ann, okay, Adams. She's a gymnast, but she hurt her back. She was permanently paralyzed from the bottom, but she was a very active lady. She was an occupational therapy course. When we actually suggested, let's ask Julie to do that. You know what Julie Ann Adams, a non-Christian, say of a Christian? You cannot trust her to do it. Because you cannot trust her to be there. Said, whoa. I kept quiet. Because Julie happened to be in my group. There were five, three Singaporeans, me, Timothy Low, not your Timothy Low. Another Low is L-O, not L-O-W. Okay? And then we had other, then another Singaporean girl who we were part in the study group. And Julie was in our group. And she's a very hardworking, but she's not often there because she chooses her own time. And so this particular girl actually said, we cannot trust Julie. Whoa. For a non-believer to say that, where can you find that in the Bible again? Is there a situation in the book of Genesis that happened where a non-believer scolded a believer? Remember King Abimelech told Abraham, you want to kill me? You tell me that that is your sister, that is your wife. You know, God almost killed us. You get us, you. All right? God used Abimelech to rebuild a Christian. And that was in a secular situation. You know, many Christians work to have, ask God for grace, to have a testimony. Do things right, say things right, and ask God for grace. Okay? Ask God for grace to make sure you have a testimony. Number one. Number two, notice in verse number 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. This is the eunuch, Ashpenaz, who told Daniel, okay? I fear the lord my king, who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. What's Ashpenaz saying? Look, my king, my lord, Nebuchadnezzar, tell me to take care of you and give you food and meat so that you'll be strong and nice. What if you appear before him? You know what? I lose my head. No. So Daniel had to understand that it wasn't Ashpenaz's fault. It was just a directive from CEO. I have to do that. Hey, I'll lose my job, lah. Hey, don't like that, lah. Don't sabotage me, lah. You know, I know you're a Christian, but you know, cooperate, lah. A little bit only, lah. I'm sure your God understand. Huh? You know what? In the kindness of our Christian heart, okay, lah. I think I don't want to make it bad for you. When we do that, we offend our Savior. That's what the Bible. Because when you look at Daniel's situation, you find that Daniel had much faith. There was another situation whereby people actually gave in, but God didn't scold him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Christians need to grow, and we need to be patient with some people who sometimes may make the wrong decisions. Okay? And you know, that's why we preach so hard on surrendering to God. Because once you surrender to God, you'll be able to do what Daniel did. Which is our goal, is to live by the pattern of Scripture. But you know, somewhere on the line in our weakness, sometimes God will have to strengthen us. Okay? So in this situation, Ashpenaz was complaining to Daniel. What did Daniel do? Look at verse 11. Then said Daniel to Mesphah, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just another name, okay? Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give me pulse. The word pulse means vegetables, okay? To eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And so he consented to them in the matter and proved them 10 days. What did Daniel do? The next point. After you understand the situation, trust the Lord and move in faith. You know what Daniel did? Tell you what, give us 10 days. This is an experiment. We will eat what will not defile ourselves Of course, he won't tell Mizza. He said, I'll just eat vegetables these 10 days and drink water. I won't drink your wine and meat, which was wise. That was already commanded in the Levitical law. You know what Daniel was doing? I'm just obeying God. And he put it as a challenge. You see for yourself, after 10 days, prove us. If after 10 days, we no strength, then okay, we will. You know what they were doing? Faith. Faith in what God said. I had one friend. He wasn't my friend. He was actually when I was in the army. Last time they had boxing. Now I don't think they have. Last time I think maybe too many injuries. So they had boxing. There was this guy. He was in a boxing ring with another guy. He was about between Song Ling and Brother Robert. That guy was huge, you know. And then I found out later he was a vegetarian. I said, how in the world he was a vegetarian? Okay, he wasn't vegetarian as in the Mosaic sense, but just a vegetarian. But that guy was huge and he was very, very fit as well. Okay, because he's thinking of we need a lot of meat and all that. But you know, Daniel actually had to trust God in his word and had to take a step of faith. Christians in the secular world, working in the secular world with bosses and all that. You know what Daniel challenges us to do? Learn to trust God and make a decision to your whoever and say, this is what is going to happen. Let's put it to the test. We won't. You just play with what we say first. Tell you what, if we really look sickly, tell you what, we will eat the meat after that. And you know what, in those 10 days, say, God, you help us. We want to obey you. God will never let you down. Amen. When you decide firstly, I'm going to obey God first. I'm going to obey God first. I have found my God, and I believe it's yours too, never to be unfaithful. Never. And I have testimonies that you will probably see only in heaven. Why that's so? God has proven it never to be unfaithful. When we say, I will stand. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Was God faithful in their situation? They made a decision. The king was angry. The king threw it. They burned it. The fire of the furnace was worn 7 times. They even killed the soldiers that wanted to throw this. And guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The Bible said even the smell of fire wasn't on their shirts. God is faithful. But you know what? We need to take the step of faith first, even in secular decisions. Okay? The principle here is do all you can to obey the Lord and being non-offensive to men. Because if the person is not involved, then let's not get the person involved as a non-believer. Does that make sense? You do all you can to make decisions, trusting God. Remember, God will fight on your behalf. Alright? This non-believer doesn't know that, but make a decision that places your trust on God rather than on the situation. Okay? When you make decisions, you need to do that. Any questions? Any questions? Okay, the next point is, what if it is impossible to obey men without compromising the Lord's words? Are there situations like this? Can anyone think of any situation? What is impossible to impossible to obey men without compromising the Lord's words? That means they tell you to do something you have to do, but you know when you do it, you will break God's law. What if you face a situation? What do you do? Have anyone had a situation before? No one has that situation. I'm sure they have. Like, you're just thinking of situations that come out where they say that if I decide this, I may be looked upon, or people may. I think there were people say if you don't do this, there was one situation in China. It's a sad situation. You know, in China, it's a communist situation. So there was one girl who was as a Christian. She was saved, and our teacher in the Middle Kingdom was trying to come because in China she was asked to marry a fighter pilot, okay, which is part of the Communist Party, and the threat was if you don't, we will bring the police to your church. And you know what they do to them. So she was, you know what our missionary say, you do what is right and leave the consequences to God. in the end, I suppose she was a young Christian. It was very hard for her. She left the church because she didn't want to implicate the church in the end. Do you realize that is the type of Bible counsel we need to give? A counsel that says, trust God, do the right thing. God will bring us through. He will. He has done it before. He will. He's continuing to do it. As I'm seeing it even in my own life. I'm seeing it in lives of Christians who decided to put God first. Our God is a supernatural God, amen? And He can intervene in supernatural ways, in secular decisions, but you know, we have to trust Him first. Okay? So what do we do if it's impossible? You know, in Esther 4:16, let's turn, let me take a few, right? Brother Desmond, you can turn to Esther 4:16. Your sister Jamie, you can turn... We're all in Daniel. So just for Esther 4:16, maybe you can read that so that people can hear. What did Esther do? What did Esther do? I think we all know, but I just want to read that verse. What did Esther do?
Esther 4:16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present here in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish,
What did Esther say? So will I go into the king, which is not according to what the men say, and if I die, I die. You know what he means? If I have to make a decision, if I lose my job, I lose my job. Because obedience to God is the number one thing in my life. If I choose not to go for CCA because I want to serve God in this area, we have received track before, some teens say, if you don't come, your CCA points will be taken away. All right? Of course, you need to measure that a bit, you need to balance that a bit. But you say, if I'm to obey God, and it's important. God has moved in my heart. Say, I need to be faithful. I'm moving forward in my Christian life. And you know what Esther says? The point here is, obey the Lord and leave the consequences to Him. Obey the Lord and leave the consequences to Him. I shared with you about my Brunei situation. And I've learned firsthand, obey the Lord and leave the consequences to Him. It's interesting what God will do behind the scenes. Obey God, Christians, and leave the Esther says what? You know what he says? If I die, I die. That is a statement of faith in God. For people who dare not say that, you know what? I dare not trust God. Oh, may God help us to see the reality of genuine faith in our Heavenly Father who cares for us so much. No earthly father will see a child make a decision and hurt himself. The father will be there, even for Joanna right now in her condition. If I hear him going to talk, I make sure I'm there. I try to, you know, say, are you okay? Yeah, okay, she always smiles, I'm okay, you know. And there was one time, I think she said, because maybe she's getting used to the crutches. The Heavenly Father, all the more, will want to be there to support us. You know what? That requires just childlike faith. Just abandoning us. I say, God, I'm going to serve you. You take care of them. You know what? God will. God. Well, there's another situation. I just wanted to show you that it does happen. There was one time my family was supposed to preach in SBDC. We went there to preach. And because our family is too big, last time we can all squeeze, all small one, or carry in a hand, can sit in one taxi. Now we have to sit in two. And so I think I was with, I can't remember who, then my wife was in another taxi. So they're all going to SBDC. So of course in my mind, I say, oh, what if the guy go wrong way and all that kind of thing, you know. So my mind was preoccupied with making sure my part of my family reached there. So I think Jairo was with me. So I said, Jairo, as we reach SBBC, I thought they haven't come yet. So I said, Jairo, you stay here. When Mama, they all come, you bring them in, okay? And then the secretary of SBBC said, no, wait. Why? No, she asked me to go. I said, no, I'm just waiting here. I said, no, your wife inside already. You know, God spoke to my heart, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. Amen. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. This is the reality, I'm sure. Remember Joseph? He was in tough situations, but you know, God took care of him. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, they were in fiery situations, God took care of him. Remember Daniel? He was in a lion's den. Those cats, you know how they treat those lions? Not like Jia Jia and Kai Kai. Always feed them. They don't feed the lions. You know why? So the moment they throw the person in, the lions will go. And guess what? The lions became pussycats to Daniel. Because God intervened. Christians, unless we are willing to trust God, we will never see the intervening hand of God. You know why? You know what God says? You guys don't trust me. That's why we need to trust the Lord and move by faith. Oh, may God just... You know, sometimes, Rajani, it's hard to trust God like that. Well, then pray. Pray. That's why corporate prayer is so important. Corporate prayer is important. Pray as a family. Say, God, you know we have an issue. I want to learn to trust you. Lord, you take control there. God will. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not. He will not is a decision that God has already made. If you trust me, I will bring it to pass. Okay? Hopefully that challenged your heart. The next one is Daniel chapter 3. We already talked about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. What if you cannot obey God and you will compromise your principles? Number one, obey the Lord, leave the consequences to him. Number two, be bold and make a stand. Just make a stand. Daniel 3, 16 to 18. I just want to read Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I read so many times. It's such a challenge for me. I hope it will be for you. Teenagers, you need to have this kind of stand when you face a crowd that say, hey, I had a sister here who said that her friends actually challenged her. Why don't you change your wardrobe? You know, why are you wearing dresses? I mean, you're so out of style, you know. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and after being challenged by Nebuchadnezzar, said this: we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. The word careful means I'm not full of care. I'm not anxious. In other words, King, we're as calm as cucumbers before you as we answer you. We're not careful. We're not concerned. We're not anxious. Because why? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And look at that boldness, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. That's faith. That's faith. Say, King, they address O King Nebuchadnezzar out of respect. Say, look, we're not anxious because our God can deliver. But notice the steel of their faith in verse 18. If not, even if God doesn't deliver us, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Obedience and loyalty to the Most High. At the cost of my life, in obedience to the Most High God, I will not bow down. You can kill me if you want. God can deliver us, but if it is his will for us to burn in there, we will not compromise. We submit ourselves to God. Many missionaries on the field has to do that. God, you take care of my family. You take care. And God has miraculously intervened. You know what? My part as pastor is for every Christian to experience that. Some people say, well, Christian life is boring. No, it's not. If you see what God is doing now, no, it's not. I'm moving to a new place. Four times. Now we're averaging about 70. Four times is 280 people. Are you prepared to see what God will do? The fact that God has given a man, we discussed that on Friday night about how we need to have certain rooms and all that. You know what? God is preparing to, but we have to come to him in humble faith, all right? Be bold and make a stand. Number three, continue to do what you know what you must do. Daniel chapter 6, remember? When the presidents were very jealous of Daniel, they have a decree and say, well, Daniel, all right, King, we want you to come up with a in verse 4, right? Daniel 6, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error for found in him. You know what they were trying to do? Trying to find fault with Daniel so that they can accuse him to the king. Guess what? He had perfect testimony before them. Perfect. Said, wow, so hard to find. There's only two people in the Bible like that. Who's the next one? Daniel and Joseph. You cannot find any fault in these two men. Okay? What if someone comes and scrutinizes our life for 1 week? I know I'll fail immediately. What about you? What about in our workplace? When our colleagues look at us, do they look at us? You cannot trust him. I know some things, but you know what? He's good. He's a good man, and we can trust him. Do our colleagues have that? You realize when you have that testimony before men, there's nothing God can't do. But God sometimes says, I cannot do that because, you know, it's sabotage already by what you said and what you did. Okay? And so in Daniel's situation, they couldn't find. So all they could do was to find fault with their God. And so the king, he came up with a strategy. He said, King, for 1 month, everyone must pray to you. Anyone who don't pray, lion's den. What did Daniel do? The king made a decree. This is a decree. What did Daniel do? The Bible says in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. You know what? We ought to obey God rather than man. You know what Daniel did? He opened his windows and prayed. You know what? Just in case, don't let the presence hear. Maybe I close my door and pray. You know how people give thanks at lunchtime? When they buy their food, you know. You wouldn't dare to close your eyes and... You know, sometimes, you know, some people would... Amen. Why should we be ashamed of the very Savior who died for us? Teenagers, I've been there before. But you know what, over time you begin to realize, hey, just close your eyes and bow your heads and thank God for the food. Jesus wasn't ashamed of us. Let's not be ashamed of our Savior. Okay, Daniel did as he did before. So the principle is continue to do what you know you must do, the right thing. I'm not asking you to disobey your boss, but you know, you need to think through what is the situation. Can I do it another way? And if really at the end of the day, I think some of us, I think Brother Desmond was sharing with the youth about how the, I think there was, what was the halfway house? What's the name that you went to stay 2 weeks? Hiding place. The hiding place was, they were asked to leave, and it was because they refused to budge on one point. You must take out the word preach the gospel from your constitution. All right? And what Pastor said, no, I cannot do that. That's the very point. The world wants to take away from us what is important. But this pastor said, no. This is the essence of our ministry. The people's lives are changed because of the gospel of prayer. We cannot take it out. So, okay, fine. You have to move. You know, I don't know whether they found a place already. So, think about that. You know, in Singapore, we are living like that. Our government is a secular government. But our king is over our government. That's where we need to have our allegiance to. I'm not asking anyone to break the law, because God commands us to follow the law. But when God's law is being compromised, as Christians, we need to make a stand to love him. But at the same time, to be clear, that we make decisions, remember, obey all you can, Lord, being non-offensive to men. But when your stand for Christ cannot be maintained without compromising, then as Christians, I believe, from the Bible, if you are to be Bible believers, make your stand. I can tell you so many times in the army as well, I was asked to drink and say, sorry, sir, with all due respect. You know, the captain was very angry. How dare you make me lose face in front of chief instructor, that kind of thing. He said, sorry, sir, with all due respect, I don't drink. Yeah. It was tough because he had made me drink 17 Cokes, and I think I shared with Tao Hui and all that kind of thing. Because for every beer they drink, I have to drink 3 Cokes. Okay, I'm glad you drink the Coke. I went to the toilet 8 times. That's better than having friends. My colleague, another officer was throwing out in the toilet and all that the whole night. You know, I never forget that. But you know, interestingly, at the end of my NS, I was supposed to leave. There was one captain. No, sorry, it wasn't major. He came. He knew I didn't drink. So at the very last afternoon before I book out and bye-bye to them, you know what he told me? He's a Christian. Hey, Johnny, one for the time, sir. Come on. Even at the end, I was like, sorry, sir. No thanks. Of course, he didn't push it. He's a Christian. I can tell you, the devil will hit you at every point. May I say this? Stand firm for the Lord, that people might know there is a light that people can turn to. Okay, any questions? So seeking the Lord in our secular decisions, number one, have a testimony, understand the situation, and then trust the Lord and do the right thing. Trust the Lord and do the right thing. Any questions? Any secular decisions that people are facing now that you need some inputs in, you can discuss as a whole. We have many men and ladies, I'm sure, have gone through certain. Any questions or anything? Feel free to ask. Some people are smiling already. Any questions you want to ask? It could be with your children. It could be with... What if the school asks the children to dance to disco music and all that kind of thing? What will you do, parents? It happens. We can see downstairs at Greenwood Primary School. And they have loud music. Sometimes they will invite what outsiders to come, right? Then they will lead the children in all kinds of, you know what they do inside, and they blasting, cannot sleep. Because in the morning you just blast the music. What will you do? What will you do? Because the influence of the teachers are very strong, friends also, everyone is doing it. So what would you do? What would you do? In a secular society, we have no regard for God. Christians, we must have regard for God. Because He's our Savior. He's our God. And so I'm encouraging you, as you seek the Lord in your secular decisions, remember, put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God has never shortchanged people. Never. When God closes one door, He'll always open another. But are we willing to trust Him in the first place? Okay? Any questions? Any questions? As a Christian, I can't do anything that will be inconsistent with what I believe. Regardless of the situation, if my action is inconsistent with my belief, I'm inconsistent to my God. Okay? Because at the judgment seat, because the idea is we cannot do something on the outside that is not reflective on the inside. As a Christian, God aims for consistency. And so my counsel could be that you may have to set a clause in your situation, to talk to a doctor or nursing or someone. In this situation specific, it means you have to think through what it is. Understand the situation. Understand when it comes to ending of life, ma'am, I can't do it. Then they will probably say, hey, you cannot impose your religious. I'm not imposing, I'm just being me. I just say I can't. Like I say, you cannot stop me from being vegetarian. So I will use that as a... So for me, if I'm in that situation, I will not actually... Now, this is my thought. Anyone? Yeah. Believe very firmly. We have to govern by what we believe. That is a lot. You see, the process is one thing. What we believe about the process is another thing. And in the Christian faith, what we believe about certain things should govern our actions, not the situation. I'll tell you that plainly because, at the end of the day, God will both judge the process and also our heart. But I think you know where God is more interested in. So I understand this kind of medical thing happens all the time. It's an ongoing saga. It may not be AMD, it may be other things as well. But I think we have to go back and evaluate firstly what we believe about life and whether sustaining life. But in our situation where I think one of our deacon's daughter was actually not resuscitated. Of course, in that situation, of course, because I think from an experiential perspective of this particular deacon whose daughter passed away, he does all he can to sustain life. Okay? No matter how difficult it is. Mom just gave birth, but the daughter is really having a... But she'll go down every day. Because as far as he's concerned, his belief is, life is given, therefore I will continue to do all I can to sustain this life. Now, if we believe in that, then that actually, looking at it from principle point of view, the word principle means a truth we live by. A truth we live by, okay? So in that situation, we need to look at the fact that if this is what I believe, then does it change? If it changes, no, it's not a principle. This is a very important principle of the scriptures because God doesn't change in situations, okay? I understand that process, and therefore we need a little bit of thinking through. And this is, I would say, one of the rarities. This would be peculiar to people in the health profession. Okay, but generally, in terms of our whole life, in terms of principle, I just want to open up again. It's a situation that probably Sir Elizabeth would have to actually think through, and whether if I do that, would it be honoring to the Lord? Because we're not involved. We could give insight, we can give counsel. It's not whether I'm right, you're right. Ultimately, we have to stand before God, but it's our practice consistent with what the principles of Scripture reveal to us. If we do in the due process a principle, and we would probably not intentionally, but looking at a situation, we actually inadvertently transgress that, then we need to rethink. But if we really are convicted by the fact, well, it's not, we have to be very clear. We have to be very clear and be able to, because God will actually impress on other people's heart why it's not. So. So there's two ways. In the medical world, there's a lot of do we share information, etc. Is it wrong? I think when it relates to life itself, there's a very big overbearing principle. And I would tend to, I'm not here to play sides, but I think it's important. In signing that, that means no resuscitation. It means that person will just go, right? Okay? You probably pray that it doesn't happen in your shift. Okay? But the signing part itself, do we believe in that? Do we believe, yeah, I'm just a witness? You see, the thing I want us to learn, we cannot divorce what we do from what we believe. We cannot. Because it will come back to us, and we will have to address that again. A simple example is eating food offered to idols. Some people believe it's okay. It's just food, okay? But you know what? After that, it's very hard to pull out. It's a trend, because by doing that, you're setting a precedence for your faith. You may not believe that, but put it this way. If one day you see me doing this, okay, smoking, and say I put it away, you'll always have the image there. And that's something that I want us to be. So if you're not, my counsel at this point, if you're not sure, don't do it. If you're not sure, don't do it. Because that's what the Bible says. If you're not sure, don't do it. I'm not sure. So I will actually actively tell the medical director, sir, at this point in time, I don't believe I should be part of that, because I don't believe I should be part of that. Because I'm not sure. And I don't want to be in the place to do something which I'm not sure about where God says it's sin. Does it make sense? I think there's wisdom involved, because then if I'm not sure, then I do not try to be sure by signing it. I'll just say, well, then I will actively then go search the scriptures. I'll give you an example. So should I go to work as a pastor? I struggled for 6 to 9 months before I actually took a step, because God showed me clearly, Paul worked night and day to support himself so that he can do the ministry. Say, okay, God, after 6 to 9 months, I really struggled before I even went to work. Yes. Okay. All right, we better go and at least take a break now. So hopefully think through. Okay, these are things. Next week we'll continue with our final part whereby we'll look at how to seek God. But next week hopefully we'll come with a little bit more firmer decisions. But some things in life we have to go by principles. Okay, truth we live by. That's a word of prayer. Lord, we ask you to give us firm convictions so that in our workplace we will have your light shining through us. Help us not to be inconsistent with anything, or if any process, anything that is inconsistent with what we believe. Help us, Lord, to make a stand so that the light of Jesus, Lord, will shine, and perhaps through our refusal or not doing it, someone may ask the question, why are you guys not doing that? And then we will be able to share the faith. We ask you, Lord, to give all of us wisdom, because we seek as a church to honor you both individually and corporately. I pray, God, you help us. It's not a tedious process. It's a good process to learn. Help us, Lord, to govern all our thoughts by your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, come back in about 10 minutes, all right, for the service. Thanks.